Former Texans wide receiver Cecil Shorts in with me on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio 610. We are 1 week away from Texans training camp. Cecil, if I tell you the Texans have the most pressure on them of any team in the league this season, would you agree or disagree with that?
If you told me the Texans had the most pressure on them this season, would I agree or disagree? I would say no. I would disagree. I just don't see, I think from a management standpoint, yeah, there's some things going on that they need to figure out, or what, you know, there's a four horsemen going over there and, you know, some other things they need to figure out. But the most pressure, no, I don't. I would think other teams would be in that category. I think Jacksonville, I think they'll be in a lot of pressure. That's more pressure
than
the Texans right now.
I agree with you. The reason I bring it up is, I was looking at
the Cowboys.
I think that's definitely a team that has more pressure. I was looking at Jason LaCanfora's story about just ranking all 32 teams last night. Mm-hmm. I know LaCanfora is a bit of a weird name in Houston because he gets almost everything wrong, but I feel like this is an interesting leaping off point, just the concept here. The Texans have pressure on them. There's no doubt. Their coach is in year six. Their quarterback's in year three. Mm-hmm. And there are understandable and legit expectations that this football team needs to get better, needs to compete with Indianapolis and find a way to make the playoffs and advance farther in the playoffs. But I don't believe there's more pressure here than there is, let's say, in Cleveland. For me, the Browns right now have the most pressure of any team in the NFL.
The Browns?
Yes.
Well, now I don't view it as, yes, they have a lot of pressure, but I think they had some time to figure it out because of their first-year head coach. So that's why I wouldn't say they have the most pressure, whereas you look at Dallas, Jason Garrett's been there for a long time, almost a decade, huh?
Yeah, he was the interim coach in 2010, so it's been 9-10 years almost.
And then look at all that contract situations that's going on. They're in a situation where they have a very good roster. If they don't win, to me, they have to pretty much get to the Super Bowl to save Jason Garrett's job. If they don't do that, that's pressure to me.
Okay, so I say Cleveland's got the most pressure. Mm-hmm. You think that the Cowboys have the most pressure?
I do.
Okay, the Cowboys with the most. I still think it's Cleveland.
Explain.
People are expecting fireworks. And part of why they have the most pressure, actually, is because they never really have this kind of pressure in Cleveland. They never have these kind of expectations to win the AFC North. They have a big-name quarterback. They have big-name players all over the roster. They've got one of the best defensive players in football. They've got Odell Beckham. They've got Jarvis Landry. They've got talented running backs. They have talent all over the place.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys are used to playing under a spotlight. The Browns are not used to playing under this kind of spotlight when there are actual expectations attached. So Cleveland, I think part of the reason why they have way more expectations or pressure than, let's say, the Houston Texans is people nationally are talking way more about the Browns
They
are about the Texans. And the Browns aren't used to that.
They're not used to that at all. I mean, in my 31 years of living, I've seen two winning seasons from the Browns. Two. So for them to get national media on something this big, like something good, is like mind-blowing to me. it's mind-blowing. So where do you think the Texans should be ranked out of the 32 teams when it comes to pressure?
Good question. I think they are somewhere in the 5-8 range. Because I'm looking at...
That's still pretty high.
It's still high. They've got a lot of pressure, no doubt. But I'm looking at a white sheet in front of me, and I would put the Cowboys have more pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I think the Vikings have a lot of pressure. Their quarterback is being paid a lot of money. They have a very talented roster, and they had a disappointing season last year. Like they took a step back. I think there's some pressure on Mike Zimmer as far as being a head coach. Carolina has a lot of pressure. Similar situation to Minnesota. Quarterback coming off an injury, quarterback coming off a shaky season,
yep.
A coach that a lot of people have doubts about. The Green Bay Packers have a lot of pressure because they have one of the best quarterbacks ever, and things went terribly last season.
Yeah.
And now they have a new head coach in Matt LaFleur that people aren't really sure what to do with. I think the change makes sense. I don't know if LaFleur is the answer, but whenever you have Aaron Rodgers, you feel like you need to be competing for a Super Bowl every single year. There's pressure in Green Bay, even though their coach is in year one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think with Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, he probably has 3-4 more years left. And the thing about Aaron,
at
this level, the thing about Aaron, he sat in the bench for a while. So I think that kind of like gave him a little bit of more longevity. So about 3-4 more years left at this level. But once he's gone, who's next up? Like for me in San Diego, I keep saying San Diego, daggone it, the Chargers. They got a little pressure to me too. And I don't know if it's top 10, maybe top 12, because Phillip Rivers is going to be gone soon. So who's your next guy up? That's not an easy shoot of field.
There is nobody.
Makes sense. So they got to figure out that pretty soon. Anybody with an older quarterback, I feel like it's pressure there. What about the Steelers? How do you feel about the Steelers and their pressure?
I think they have some – I think they need to bounce back. I think it's really on Mike Tomlin more than it is, let's say, on Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though they missed the playoffs in horrific fashion, Big Ben had a very good season. I think when people look at Pittsburgh's struggles the last 2 years especially, the finger is pointed way more at Mike Tomlin than it has at Big Ben. And I think that's actually fair.
Mm.
And they have pressure in that Mike Tomlin needs to bounce back and do a better coaching job. But because there's been so much attention on Cleveland, I think it actually means there's less pressure on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think looking at this list, they have the New York Giants second. I kind of agree with that. I think New York should be pretty high. I don't know if they...
What do people expect exactly?
I don't know if they know what they're doing over there, actually. I don't know if they're
I don't know if they know what they're doing
page.
Either.
Like, it just seems like a mess to me. So I think the pressure comes from the media, that market. And then, you know, with Eli and his situation, it's going to be interesting to see how they do this year. And if they... Because there's no way you draft a guy number 6 overall and not play him. Right? Like the whole you sit it's rare you sit him the whole entire year.
I think it's ridiculous that Eli Manning's still on the Giants. They should have gotten rid of him, and Daniel Jones should be starting week one. And I'm not even saying Daniel Jones will be good because
we don't know.
I don't think he was great at Duke, but Daniel Jones should be the week one starter for the Giants. The fact that he's not means that they don't know what they're doing. The whole thing is here as we're discussing teams with the most pressure heading into the NFL season, 1 week away from Texans training camp. Cecil Shorts in for Seth Payne this morning is. If I tell you a team has pressure, then for me it means, well, they have to achieve something. When I look at the Dallas Cowboys, they have to achieve something. The Texans have to achieve something.
That's fair.
The Jaguars need to bounce back with Nick Foles.
That's fair.
The teams I mentioned in the NFC, Green Bay with Rodgers, Minnesota, Carolina, I can tell you what they need to do to have successful seasons. With the Giants, I'm not really clear what that's going to look like because it's a mess. Their quarterback's done. He's old. Their best player is a running back. And their most interesting player, I guess, is a rookie quarterback who's from Duke. So I don't even know what a good season is for the Giants. I guess a good season would be if Jones comes in and plays like Baker Mayfield did last season. Then that's a really good year.
Yeah, but I mean, how likely is that to happen?
Not likely.
They're going to give the ball to Saquon every other play, whether it's passing or running.
Yep.
They did attempt to strengthen up their offensive line. But looking at their receivers, they don't have too many threats outside of letting Odell go. So you got Sterling Shepard. You got Evan Ingram, who's always hurt.
That's about it.
And I kind of agree with you. You have to have expectations to have pressure. So if you don't have high expectations, it's not that much pressure to be good. It's not much pressure on the organization, if that makes sense.
And here is the write-up to fully localize this thing. This is what Lockhand 4 wrote about the Texans situation. Sorry, when you fire a GM who already had limited authority right before vacation and spend time when you should be trading Jadeveon Clowney, leading a botched GM search that ended up with no one hired for the role, you're going to end up high on this list. And now you're about to fight Clowney over $2 million. You have problems. Tensions have been high since O'Brien's arrival. They can't win in the playoffs. They keep getting the quarterback hurt, and the offensive line still looks like a big issue. And winning the AFC South ain't as easy as it used to be. All eyes will be in Houston. Rising star executive Jack Easterby.
Oh, there he is.
Could end up the big winner here, but the heat is on Bill O'Brien.
His name always seems to pop up when it comes to the Texans. That's interesting.
I mean, Lockhand 4, he threw in a lot of different things. Like, some are right. Some, I think, are ridiculous. You can't trade Clowney now.
No.
If you want to tell me they should have traded Clowney 3 months ago before the NFL draft.
Before the draft, maybe, yeah.
Then that's a logical argument to make.
Can't do it now.
But you can't do it now because you have to win this season. Yeah. They can't trade Jadeveon Clowney. Mm-hmm. That's absurd.
One thing I do agree with them, though, the AFC South has gotten better. And I don't know, 2 days ago I believe that. I sat down and looked at the rosters last night.
What changed?
Well, I just looked at the rosters and looked at the Tennessee Titans and their roster and who they added on the offensive end. They added a lineman in Roger Saffold. They added some more wide receiver depth in Adam Humphries. They went out and got Cameron Wake, who is 37 years old, but he still can add some pressure to the defensive line and get some pressure on the quarterback is what I mean.
It's a solid division.
And then you got the Colts, of course, and then Jacksonville's no slouch. I don't think Jacksonville made the playoffs, but they're going to be competitive.
The big thing about Jacksonville as it relates to us is the Texans, two of their 11 wins were obviously against the Jaguars last season. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really hard to match that 2-0 because of Nick Foles and because the Jaguars, I think, might be healthier. And I like their draft a lot. Josh Allen and Juwan Taylor from Kentucky.
I do too. I think they improved. I don't know if they're a playoff team, honestly. To me, the jury's still out. I know Nick Foles is a MVP, Super Bowl MVP, but that was in that system that was with the Philadelphia Eagles, where if Carson Wentz that year stayed healthy, he'd probably been Super Bowl MVP as well. So I don't know if he'll do that with the same with what's going on in Jacksonville.
That makes sense.
But they are going to be a better team.
For me, it's more that Blake Bortles, to me, was not a threat against the Texans.
He wasn't.
You could tell defensively they were so confident against Blake Bortles. Foles is going to make things, he's going to be more dangerous for Jacksonville.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. He changes things on that offensive end for them.
Yes. Now, Tennessee, Landry, for some reason, is buying into the Tennessee Titans as this major threat. And I'm not sure why this is actually the case. Like, why should I be buying into Tennessee?
Well, I think their first year they were 9-7 under Vrabel.
They're always 9-7.
And I think that was a good stepping point to them. I think they're a competitive team. I think they have made some good additions this offseason. The biggest thing for me is it's all about Mariota. So if Mariota can play up to his potential, you know, they'll be in the runnings for the division. But if he doesn't, if he continues to stay hurt, if he continues to be in and out, you know, he won't. I mean, his completion percentage is awesome, but I think he needs to attack downfield more to be a successful, for him to get his team over the hump and really be good. Because he's a guy that, I mean, he's throwing the ball, check down. I mean, the game here, I think he completed like his first 17 passes or something.
He had one incompletion.
But it was like dink, donk. It was never down the field. It was just rare like that happened. So, you know, for me, I think the success lies on Marcus Mariota big time.
To sum it all up, I think the Texans have a lot of pressure going into this season, but it's not as much pressure as what's going on in Cleveland and what's happening with the Dallas Cowboys, who I think have the most pressure on them heading into this season.